For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN at checkout.
If you vote for me,
Rich Eisen,
all of your wildest dreams will come true.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome
DeAndre Hopkins. Welcome to the Chiefs Kingdom.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Touchdown Tampa Bay. Ryan Miller was opened by at least 3 yards.
It's a walk-off touchdown by Kareem Hunt.
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Mike Garofolo, World Series champion pitcher Jack Flaherty, Chargers defensive tackle Scott Matlock. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on Election Day here from Los Angeles, California. I voted. I sure hope everybody else out there either has or has a plan to today and make your voices heard. You never know the power that you have with just your one vote. And in that respect, my first order of business after voting was banishing both Chris Brockman and TJ Jefferson to Germany. You know what? That's my agenda, and no one was going to stop me from doing that. So I sent them on a plane, and they are already there. There's TJ's empty chair, not a metaphor for anything. He's literally not here today. Chris Brockman went on a flight yesterday as well, because we're going to start doing the show from Munich, Germany on Thursday. I'm calling the Panthers and the Giants on Sunday on NFL Network. We're going to be doing shows on the Roku Sports Channel live Thursday, Friday, a special show over the weekend on Saturday. You already heard DJ Mikey D is in D's nuts laughing out loud. He's back in his chair and in Chris Brockman's chair today. Susie Schuster, everybody. Good to see you, Suze. How are you? Good to see you. Mike, you got to turn her microphone on. No. My goodness,
Susie,
gracious.
I'll mute it.
She's speaking.
This?
There you go.
That's what they do. They have control, too.
Good to see you. How are you, Suze?
Well, that's one way to start the show.
Sorry, Susie. I should have showed you.
That's right.
That was my fault.
Good morning, everybody.
Good to see you, Suze.
Good afternoon, whoever you're finding this podcast, this show, this Roku extravaganza. Yeah. I'm happy to be here with you.
Good to see you.
Thanks.
Good to have all of you here. We've got two folks from the Los Angeles sports scene stopping in here in studio from our neighbors across the way, the 5-3 Los Angeles Chargers. I've been fascinated by this guy. His name is Scott Matlock. He's a Boise State kid, drafted by the Chargers last year. Jim Harbaugh turned him into a two-way player. He's not just a defensive lineman. He's also the team's fullback. And to me, that's as Jim Harbaugh as it gets. And Scott Matlock's going to be here in studio in hour number three. And then from here in Los Angeles, California, Harvard Westlake's finest and team champion for the Los Angeles Dodgers, game one pitcher, game five pitcher, Jack Flaherty will be joining us in studio, Suze.
Do you think he played legacy baseball?
Maybe he did. I mean, we know that system very well.
Yep.
And so Jack will be here in studio and joining us in about 17 minutes time. Even though he's just up the road at NFL Network, he's kind of occupied because it's trade deadline day. Mike Garofolo will be joining us to put his finger on that pulse 17 minutes from now to let you know what's going on trade deadline day. That's what's going on in the sports world. And as always, we start this show right here on a Tuesday with a Monday night review presented by Lowe's. And lo and behold, we have hit week number 9 of this season, and one of the stories that we've been following, as is the rest of the sports world. I love how we're going to make it proprietary to we're just the ones following the two-time defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs in their first ever three-peat attempt for them, and the first three-peat attempt that we've seen in the NFL since the Patriots went back-to-back winning the first two Super Bowls of NFL Network's existence, and I'm in year 22 with them. And I turned the lights on there, sort of similar to this studio. But anyway, not about me. It's about the Kansas City Chiefs, and this is 100% the top storyline of this season coming in when a team has a chance to three-peat, and it sure looks like they had the horses to do it just out of the gate. And the gate started, as we know, in Arrowhead Stadium against the Baltimore Ravens on the first Thursday night, not telling any tales out of school, and here we were, finishing up week 9 in the same spot in another rainy night, just like that opening night in Kansas City where the weather delayed the start. But it did not delay the Chiefs from winning the game and making sure, even though they didn't look perfect, that when it came to situational football, down distance, getting the first downs, keeping the other team out of the end zone, sure, they did get some help by Isaiah Likely wearing white shoes and having too large a foot at the end, I understand, but they played well enough to have that be the difference for them. And here we were in the same spot on Monday night, and the Kansas City Chiefs pull it out again when you think that it's not going to work out very well for them. They do everything necessary to win the game, and they scored 4 touchdowns. 3 of them scored by guys who weren't on the team on that opening night against the Ravens. Kareem Hunt was ATC at the crib sitting at home because Isaiah Pacheco was going to be the starting running back, and they had Carson Steele from UCLA in his hair and Samaje Perine. And down goes Isaiah Pacheco. Carson Steele doesn't appear to be ready for primetime. Let's get a guy who knows the offense very well around here since he played here once before. Let's get Kareem Hunt, and let's have him not do very much in the first 2.5 quarters of this game, but still have a 100-yard game and the game-winning touchdown in overtime. Let's have that. And then let's get 2 touchdowns from a guy who wasn't on the team 3 weeks ago and a guy that everybody thought was going to sign with them because he was a free agent 2 summers ago but decided to go to Tennessee anyway. Let's go and get a potential future Hall of Famer in DeAndre Hopkins. Let's go get him. Not just only get him. Let's get him for, let's see here. Why not? Let's get him for a conditional 5th-round pick in next year's draft. So do that. Let's bring him in here. Let's get him up to speed in Vegas. And then let's have him do DeAndre Hopkins-type things like catch touchdowns, plural, and the one we see on the screen right here, people. This one in particular is leaping out at me because it is quintessential D-hop, showing he still has the hops, which is kind of ridiculous. Everybody wonders he doesn't anymore. Let's have Mahomes on a 3rd and 8 from the Tampa Bay 38. Avoid the rush. Step up in the pocket, and as he's hit, let's have him throw it right down the middle into double coverage. Let's have it float a little bit, and let's have it go right in the hands of DeAndre Hopkins to put him inside the 5-yard line and catch it in with 1 of 2 touchdowns from DeAndre Hopkins. Let's have that. You know, it kind of feels unfair, but when you've got the goods, when you've got the quarterback and you've got the future first ballot Hall of Famer tight end in Travis Kelce, shouldn't be any surprise that when DeAndre Hopkins shows up, Kelce has his best games of the year back to back. I know he fumbled last night, but he had a career high 14 receptions for 100 receiving yards. His 959 career receptions passed Antonio Gates for 3rd most receptions by a tight end in NFL history, talent trailing only Jason Witten and fellow Chief Tony Gonzalez. DeAndre Hopkins, you know, him and Mahomes just appear to be perfect together. Kareem Hunt, 27 carries, 106 rush yards, one rush touchdown. And then you got a guy in Baker Mayfield doing everything he could. He was terrific last night, ties the game with a stunning, stunning game-tying drive at the end with 30 seconds left, and Mayfield hits the Chiefs right in the mouth. He's so much fun to watch. He's got such moxie and gumption and guts. They decide to not go for two to win it, or at least go up and put Mahomes needing to score points with his final three timeouts and 30 seconds on the clock. Instead, force overtime, and Mahomes got the ball first, and we all know what Mahomes does in overtime. I guess it doesn't matter. If you get the ball second in the Super Bowl in overtime, you get the ball first in regular season overtime rules. Doesn't matter. He's going to score a touchdown and beat you, and we'll discuss Todd Bowles' strategy later on in this program. But for the moment, the Chiefs are 8-0 for the first time since 2013. That's even before, I believe, Mahomes showed up on the campus of Texas Tech being shown around by his college football chaperone, Baker Mayfield. He's never started 8-0. The Chiefs have now won 14 straight dating back to last season, including playoffs. That's the longest streak in Chiefs franchise history. They're getting stronger. They're getting better. They're the only member of the 8-win club at present. They are 2 games up in the loss on the Bills. And it's all good as Mahomes and D-Hop needed just 2 games to click. And he had this to say about the relationship after.
Yeah, I mean, he's so good at winning one-on-one. And so to be able to have him down in the red zone, third down situations, he does a good job of filling out and finding those windows. He's kind of like Travis does. I think as he figures out the whole entire offense, he'll get even better, because there's sometimes he's going places I'm like, man, there's a time and a place for that. But that's what makes him great. And then you give him a chance down the field and he makes a play. It goes from a play where it might have been a bad decision to a big time catch.
Play where he had 3 defenders around him. Did he run the route
similar to Trav, and then as I scrambled up in the pocket, he kind of took off down the field, and I wanted to throw the ball a little bit harder. Obviously getting hit, it kind of floated a little bit for me, but to have a guy like that can go up and make that catch in a crowd of defenders, is a special type of player.
Oh, so that play was them just playing street ball, like him and Kelsey. Oh, so he's got another Hall of Fame receiver out there who will just make it up and Mahomes will find him. Oh, okay. Got it. Whew. And then, as I mentioned, it's of the 4 touchdowns, 3 were scored by guys who weren't on the team on opening night. The 4th was scored by Samaje Perine, but many of us didn't notice that because Mahomes was down on the ground holding his lower left foot. You and I thought for a second, Suze, last night, the dreaded Achilles for a split second, you know?
Yeah, we really thought it. We watched the replay a couple times and we were trying to figure out what exactly happened. But then in only, as you can say, Mahomesian fashion,
yeah,
he's back.
I mean, we were looking at the replay for that dreaded calf twitch,
yep,
Durant style, you know, what we saw from Rodgers. Didn't see it. Did see the ankle turn a little bit, you know, and then ESPN showed where he got hurt being tackled in Vegas last week. But this moment right here, you need help getting off. We're like, what the hell's going on? And really nervous about it. And then he starts walking off. Like, he needed only help, what, to like halfway to the sideline, right? And then he starts walking by himself. Then he starts running by himself. And then he gets back out there. Just like last year, well, 2 Super Bowl wins ago when he had the dreaded high ankle sprain and we were pulling off maybe what helped put RES Consulting on the map, how we were able to figure out the ankle injury when he was going up and down from the podium and stuff like that. You know, we were all over that. This was Mahomes after the game explaining what happened with his ankles.
I was obviously running for the goal line, was kind of committed to running the football, and at the last second saw Samaje, and so kind of awkwardly rolled the ankle a little bit. Definitely scary. I think it hurt more just because it's the same ankle I rolled last week. So it scared me a little bit, but once I kind of took my breath and kind of calmed down a little bit, ended up being not too bad. We were able to go in there, kind of get the respat, and go back on the football field.
Any similarities between this injury and the one in the playoffs a couple years ago?
No, I think just because the one in the playoffs a couple years ago was a little bit how I got tackled. It got stuck, and it hurt a lot more. I could move. I can still have mobility in my ankle, and I still did after this game. And so, obviously, you'll sleep, probably get a little swelling tomorrow, but a short week. But you go in there and take care of it and be prepared to play next week.
Yeah. So, as we're worried about him, he's down on the ground, and he felt it as he made Mahomes' magic throw to Samaje Perine. I know everybody out there is sick and tired of members of the media, national media, whatever, going crazy every time Mahomes does something, but it kind of merits it. Paging Dr. Reed, what was he thinking? He was kind of feeling like us, Suze, last night.
Yeah, well, when he was being carried off, I wasn't too easy with it. You know, that was I wasn't sure exactly where he was going to be with it, but he might have the loosest ankles in America. I mean, it's ridiculous how he can come back from those things.
Maybe that's the problem with my running style. I don't have loose ankles.
No, you don't have loose ankles, you know, no.
Never noticed that in me.
I was thinking when I met you, like, what a smart guy, super nice.
Sure,
loose,
thanks.
Loose ankles, not so much.
Not so much. That was low on the list.
Yeah, low on the list.
On the checklist.
Yeah. Also, you know, don't forget how the field was, the considerations of how wet the field was and how hard it was to actually plant your feet to throw. I mean, as a former sideline reporter, when you have to give that report about what kind of spikes the guys are using.
Right.
You know, hey, Mike, the guys have gone to the third inch spike.
Right.
Back to you. But honestly, like when he went to throw and plant that foot, we watched his knee, we looked at his ankles, we couldn't figure out what it was, but he was definitely sliding.
And they are now sliding safely into week 10, 8-0, and next up for them is Denver.
Oh boy.
And then at Buffalo, there you go. That's the one right there. That's the one, because Buffalo's next game is at Indianapolis. They take care of that business. Then you got 9-0 Kansas City going into 8-2 Buffalo. Look out. I believe Nance and Romo are probably setting up residency in Western New York for that one right now. Oh, boy. Fun stuff for everybody, and anybody who's taking on the Chiefs. And keep taking the cheese that they're beatable. That said, the Lions just got better, and we'll talk about that in a second. Za'Darius Smith is now a member of the Detroit Lions. Mike Garafolo is going to zoom in from NFL Network to talk about that acquisition. The Cowboys have actually also made a trade as well at the wide receiver position. Jerry Jones, that's still to come, but that was your Monday Night Review presented by Lowe's, official partner of the NFL. It's easier to make the right calls with the right team, so kick off your next home improvement project with Lowe's. Lowe's knows home improvement. Let's take a break. When we come back, the latest on the trade deadline from my NFL Network colleague and NFL Game Day Morning insider, Mike Garafolo, along with Jack Flaherty of the world champion Dodgers, still to come. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5x membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Let's talk LinkedIn people and small business owning. I'm a small business owner. Yeah, I might host the Rich Eisen Show, but I run it too. Rich Eisen Productions is a small business. And when you're hiring for small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why you've got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. It's not just a job board, this LinkedIn. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. That's why you got to use them. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happening. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Westwood One.
Back here on the program, Mike Garafolo is going to join us from NFL Network, just down the 105 freeway, down the speed freeway. What games you got this weekend? You said, Mike Del Tufo?
UCLA.
Tell me what's going on with you, man, because you're not coming to Germany.
No, I got UCLA, Kansas.
No, UCLA.
Iowa. UCLA, Iowa.
Okay.
State, that's right.
No, it's Iowa. It'll be Iowa. That's a Big Ten team.
That's right.
Okay.
Iowa. And then Kansas, I think.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to surprise you. Did I wake you up over there?
No, you surprised me because I got to think about them.
Okay. Yeah, but you chose that over a beer garden and pretzel brat? Like, what do you think?
The problem is I can't. The NFL Sundays for me to miss.
Fox has got him in first position, Susan.
I can't. And it's like if I took one off already, if I take a second, it's. It's like I want. Trust me, if it was a week.
Have you been to Germany?
No.
Food is so good.
I've flown
You're
over
so
Germany. I'm jealous.
I'll bring you back some schnitzel.
Yes, I would take some.
I don't know if that'll
nah,
keep.
I might not.
Bring him pretzel brat because the schnitzel's going
to
stink.
Yeah, you
got
to explain to him what that is.
It's the pretzel. It's like a New York City pretzel, only better.
Yeah, brat is the bread. He probably thought it was like a hot dog when you said that.
What if you were to bring him a bratwurst on the plane? That would really stink.
I don't think if the plane, my neighbors on the flight would be very happy.
No.
That would not be good, Rich.
Like hour 11?
Wrap it up over and over and over again?
That'd be a problem.
That would not be good.
We do have Joe Thomas on the program slated to join us on Thursday. He has been instructed to show up in full lederhosen, which he did the last time.
Excellent.
I don't know if he's going to. That would be good TV.
Great chocolate there, too.
Honestly.
Really good chocolate. Bring me some.
Because Joe Thomas, when he's dressed like that, looks like he's in the Ricola commercial. It's great. It's great. So I hope to just stay tuned for all that. But that's on Thursday in Munich. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. The trade deadline lost amongst all the Election Day hoopla and madness is later on today, 4 Eastern time. So get in while the getting's good. And joining us right now live from the NFL Network newsroom, look at this, tapping out of his NFL Network responsibilities for at least the next few minutes. Mike Garafolo back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Mike? Good to see you.
I got a good excuse, though. I mean, it's not like I'm going on with a random here. I mean, I'm going on with the cornerstone of NFL Network here.
I am no rando, sir, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that. So the Lions made this move for Big Z. Yeah. Za'Darius Smith back in the NFC North once again. Walk me through their, I can figure what their thought process is, but walk me through the why of this and the Browns coughing them up.
They being the Lions, since the Aiden Hutchinson deal, were nosing around looking at all kinds of edge rusher possibilities. This one seemed to make the most sense for them in Za'Darius Smith, a guy who's got experience, a guy who's got the ability to do a number of things for you up front. And this was just a matter of how would the compensation be finalized over the last couple of days here. So a lot of folks expected this to be consummated at some point before the deadline. And this morning finally agreed to the swap of the 7th and 6th round picks, and the Browns getting a 5th back in return, if I've got that correctly, if I'm remembering that correctly. So this makes the most sense of all the options that were on the market. I mean, look, we knew a couple of weeks ago that Myles Garrett was not going to be moved, that the Cleveland Browns were making it clear this was a franchise cornerstone pass rusher who's got plenty of good football left. He wasn't going anywhere. So at that point, it was, okay, who can they move? Za'Darius Smith making the most sense, and the Lions being the most sense for where he would wind up.
Do we know if the Lions shot the moon and asked for Myles Garrett to start?
I would anticipate they were one of the teams that asked about him. I know teams did ask about him, and the Browns made it crystal clear, like, you're really going to have to absolutely blow us away with an offer, and no one making that offer, obviously. So I don't know specifically if they asked, but I know that the Browns did receive feelers because folks said, okay, well, are they going to start to sell off some of the key pieces? And they said, no, we still believe we are a competitive team in 2025. Why would we get rid of that guy?
So what does the edge rush market look like now that I guess the biggest name, if you will, available has gone? What does that look like right now with a few hours to go, Mike?
The one I'm looking at is Aziz Ojulari with the Giants, Rich, and there has been interest in him. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. He's going to make a bunch of money, period, whether it's with the Giants, although they have two edge rushers, one of whom they've already paid, one they're going to have to pay in Kayvon Thibodeau. So I just don't see the Giants having the money to get this done. So I believe in March we're going to be talking about Aziz Ojulari making a bunch of money because he's on his way potentially to double-digit sacks to pass his previous career high of 8. And there is interest in him now, but the Giants are holding out, saying we're not going to give him up for a 6th or a 7th. That's not high enough. I believe a 5th winds up getting it done if someone's willing to go there. To this point, no one has been willing to meet that asking price. So that's the guy that could come in and potentially provide some pass rush help. Now, you might say, well, why would the Giants hold on to him at this point? Because they don't know how Kayvon Thibodeau is going to come back from that wrist injury. I know this is not a team we're looking at to be in the postseason, but they still want to be competitive down the stretch here. And for him, it would make sense to be on a front with Dexter Lawrence creating havoc, and you could pad those stats. So I don't think he's going to be upset if he's not traded, because that'll help him set up his market for this coming spring.
So not to stray, but this is kind of an important question for me professionally as well. Not going to see Kayvon Thibodeau in Germany then? I mean, I know that he can get off of IR now with that wrist that needed surgery, but not likely for me to be calling his name.
I understand that there's still some concern with him coming back from that wrist issue there, and that maybe he's not fully there. So I would, if he doesn't play this weekend, I wouldn't be surprised. They do have the bye after that, if I'm getting that correctly. Both teams have a bye after game, if I'm not.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, perhaps after the bye, we wind up seeing Kayvon Thibodeau, but we'll see.
They both have a bye. No question about that. All right, so let's talk wide receiver market. Listen, I know Cowboys fans were hoping to see some new players, and again, I don't mean to denigrate. I'm not denigrating, because you never know what you get in a kid that was a second round pick last year in Carolina. Jonathan Mingo really hasn't had much of an opportunity to show much, but he's gonna get an opportunity, I guess, to hook up with Cooper Rush for the next few days. So walk me through the Cowboys thinking here before I ask you for a Dak update.
I mean, they really like him. In their mind, they're saying, well, we would have drafted him way higher than the 4th round, so why not give up a 4th round pick for him? And a lot of folks around the league might look at that and say, that's a little much for a guy whose production really hasn't been up to expectations to this point. So, listen, if he pans out with the Cowboys and his production goes way up and he is what they thought he was, and maybe a fresh start would be a good thing for him. It's really hard. That's why the Deontay Johnson thing was so hard, is saying, well, this guy is a potential 100-catch, 1,000-yard type guy. the numbers just aren't going to be there in Carolina. So it was actually impressive for him in what he was doing there. So you got to kind of grade on a scale if you're the Cowboys and you like what you saw from Mingo and you believe that he is going to be a guy who's going to take off in your offense. So, and that's why these evaluations for the draft are so important for teams, even if you don't wind up drafting the guy, because it's stuff that you can go back to and rely upon and say, okay, well, why didn't this guy's production match up to what we thought of him? Well, again, it might be circumstance, and if we get him in here, he might be a good fit for our system. Obviously, the Cowboys believe that in going after Mingo and giving up a fourth-round pick, which was, you know, higher than other teams certainly would have gone for him.
Well, higher than what the Ravens coughed up for Deontay Johnson, you know, and that square that circle for me. I know the Ravens also sent a six with Deontay Johnson to Carolina. Carolina traded Deontay Johnson and a sixth and got a fifth back, and the Cowboys trade a fourth and get Mingo and a seventh. So square, because I know Cowboys fans will be like, wait a minute, we could have Deontay Johnson for less than what we sent for Mingo.
But you're only getting Deontay Johnson for the rest of the season. It's a good question, but you're only getting Deontay Johnson for the rest of the season. And then you may have to pay him $20 million per season, whereas Mingo, you've got him under contract for the next couple of years here on a rookie contract. So it the cost always factors in. That's why with the Amari Cooper trade, when we were talking about that, the willingness from the Browns, not the willingness, they had already eaten the salary by giving him the signing bonus, converting his base salary into a signing bonus in the spring. So for the Bills, monetarily, it wasn't that much of a take on for them. That always factors into this one. That's why with Deontay Johnson, there was also some extracurriculars with Deontay Johnson as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been a guy throughout the course of his career. There's always been some extracurricular, I don't want to say off-field stuff, because it's a lot of times on-field stuff for him. So that factored in as well.
Mike Garofalo here on the Rich Eisen Show in his Tuesday spot. It's amazing how our cadence in our industry works right now, right? Monday is when you have the aftermath of Sunday. Then you got a game on Monday night, so you talk about it on Tuesday, and then you got your Thursdays, and you got your Saturdays at the end of the year, and then Tuesday there's a new cadence here. Listen to what Jerry Jones has to say on 105.3 The Fan, and see how awkward it gets, or chippy it gets, or how sunny he is. And today he said it's likely Dak goes on IR. What are you hearing?
That's what it sounded like from the beginning. Once you get into that, you know, four-week stretch of a hamstring injury. And coming off of Sunday, didn't sound like they thought it was going to be there, but after the evaluations, they got to the point where it's going to be a month for Dak Prescott. So the fact that he is going on injured reserve, at this point, I would say not a surprise. Jerry Jones making it clear that that was likely the way that this was going to go. You see Trey Lance there. Cooper Rush going to be the guy in the meantime. I suppose I'd be a little bit disappointed if I'm the Cowboys and Trey Lance is not up to the task yet. Again, giving up what they gave up for him, which was that fourth round pick last year, if I'm not mistaken. So in the meantime, the Cowboys season, which has been incredibly disappointing, and if you could read Dak's lips the other day with regard to his own assessment of the team right now, adding this to the mix, certainly not a help at all. I mean, Cooper Rush has shown the ability to win games for you. It's just so tough to think in this spot for them. They've got some challenging games in the next four. I don't have it right in front of me. Perhaps you do, Rich.
I do. I do, as a matter of fact. Because it would also be the assessment of many others similar to Dak, that of his assessment of the Cowboys, their chances of winning these games. I know it's Cooper Rush season, but home for Philly, home for Houston on a Monday night, and we know how poorly they've played in the first halves of home games this year. They're blown out. Then they're at Washington. You know the Commanders would love to put a pelt on the wall with a star on it. And then there's that Thanksgiving game against the Giants before Cincinnati strolls in on a Monday night. That's the next five. And I guess those four, if he goes on IR, that'll be Cooper Rush season there, man. And I guess, just if you don't mind, if you want to clean it up, what Dak's lips were reading for those who don't know what you're talking about, Mike?
I think there was a bleep in there, but yep. We suck right now, is I'm not mistaken. And a lot of times I'm not so sure about the lip read. This one seemed to be a slam dunk. So, and after that, seeing that there, after that 4 week period that he's potentially got, 4 game period he's going to miss there, you've got Thursday into Monday. So you've got a long layoff after that Thanksgiving game. Perhaps that'll help. You just got to wonder where they are at this point. And then that's going to lead into questions about Mike McCarthy and his job security. Jerry Jones has been adamant in his defense of Mike McCarthy. He's been consistent in his defense, still is consistent in his defense. If they don't make the postseason, I'm going to be really curious to see how he handles it. I happen to think Mike McCarthy is a good head coach. The number of games that they have won under Mike McCarthy is an indication of that. When you're the coach of the Cowboys, though, and you've got the fan base that expects what happened in the 90s, certainly makes things a little bit more difficult. But I applaud Jerry Jones for his support of his head coach right now, but the proof is going to be in the pudding for how he handles it after we see what happens here with Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys.
I mean, he didn't support him with an extra year on his contract. So when you hear veteran players like Zeke, according to our colleague Jane Slater, missing 3 meetings, including one on Friday, you're wondering, does Zeke not have respect for the process, the coach, or anything like that? What's your knowledge of Zeke's status and what happened, Mike?
I mean, one player and what he's going through, and it sounds like there's just been some things going on with him that just hasn't allowed him to be fully locked into football for whatever reason. Okay. I don't have the specifics of it, but there's it's just been a rocky season for Ezekiel Elliott at this point, Rich, from what I understand. And I think that's why he probably got a little bit of leeway. Like, this wasn't the first instance for him. And it's just at some point, no matter what's going on, you're here to do a job. You've got to be locked in. You've got to be ready. You've got to be on time. And at this point, both parties decided, you know what, let's sit him down for a week.
Mike Garofalo here on the Rich Eisen Show. So crystal ball it, tea leaves, whatever you want to use for the next remaining hours of what you think is going to happen, who's out there, who might be active, or who might be selling. Mike, what do you got for me on that front?
Something happening right now?
What do you got?
Well, potentially. We're watching a team, and I just got an alert regarding that team, so I thought that was it.
Okay.
But we've got some guys we're watching. I talked about Aziz Ojulari. I would say Marshawn Lattimore is another guy that we've talked about. The cornerback potentially could be on the move. We're keeping an eye on him as well.
Who would be in the market for him? Who would want to give the Saints a nice chunk for him?
It sounds like some candidates in the DMV area potentially for Marshawn Lattimore. We'll see. We're at 13 trades overall right now, 13 since the start of the regular season.
Yes, sir.
I know it's felt like a lot. It really hasn't yet gotten up to what we've seen in recent years. I don't think we're going to see numbers that rival somewhere around 20. I mean, I had a GM recently tell me we're going to get up to 20. I don't think we're going to get there. That would be a big-time blitz here down the stretch. I think we're at the point now where teams are looking at it and saying, okay, we're – if it's not a sixth or seventh round pick for a guy, we're not going to move beyond that. Like these are the ones that fill it in. Now, here's the other thing that's interesting to me, Rich.
Yes, Mike.
Talk about why there's more trades these days. I was talking to a personnel guy the other day, and he said, well, you got to realize in this day and age, there are so many coaches that have gone different places and throughout the league, and there's so much shared terminology that it's a lot easier for a player to come in. We're trading for depth pieces now. We're not necessarily just trading for frontline pieces. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you may see here over the last couple of hours, that the guy can come in, get acclimated pretty quickly, and be ready to play within a week or two. So that's why you're seeing a lot more action in recent years with the trade deadline.
And is Bill Belichick looming over the coaching hiring process right now, Mike, for sure?
No question. And last year it was a question of, is he a fit for teams? And we got a lot of no's. This time I think you're going to lean more towards owners saying, there's a gimme coach right here. Like, I know I'm going to be competitive when I bring this guy in, and how could I not hire him? Whereas last year it was like, give me a reason to hire him. But every conversation that you have regarding prospective head coaches, in large part because the feeder system is sort of dry right now. We don't have a lot of young offensive head coaching candidates. I mean, Ben Johnson has decided to not take a job over the last couple of years. If he potentially decides to do that again, and has he scared off teams by not making that leap? So you take him out of the equation. Now you're only talking about Bobby Slowick, Drew Petzing, a couple of these other guys here. It's not like we've got a lineup of 5-6 young offensive-minded guys ready to take a job. So, yeah, I believe Belichick's going to be certainly on the front lines of the coaching searches as we come up here.
The last one for you. What is going on in Chicago with DJ Moore the week after Tyreek Stevenson? We all know what happened and on the Hail Mary. And then DJ Moore, who is a vet, you know, and a leader on this team, strolling off the field while Caleb Williams is keeping a play alive. Either he thought that the play was dead, he strolled off, and then being asked in a local radio appearance if Eberflus has lost the locker room, and his response is, "I want to say no," and then gives an answer that things are, you know, now back to square one, they're 0-0, let's turn the page, things like that. Is there any smoke, fire here? What's going on, Mike?
Not to mention the fact that they haven't even played a divisional game yet, right? They got all six divisional games, and that division is arguably the best in the NFL right now. So you're looking at where the Bears are right now, and the fact that things, any of these things isolated, Rich, on the field, okay, fine. Now you start to put them all together, and now, yeah, the players are watching what we're watching. So it sort of snowballs and eats itself, basically. So Matt Eberflus has got some work to do here to rally these guys, not only to win games, but also to believe in him and to believe in this coaching staff and to stop doing all these things that we're capable of reading into, right? It's going to be a challenge for Eberflus and the Bears down the stretch.
I mean, do we know what DJ Moore did? I mean, do we have any insight here? It's just, have you ever seen anything like that? I haven't seen anything like that, right?
That was a very, very odd one, Rich. And you're right. The question and his response or lack of a response, what he didn't say there, is certainly something you got to worry about.
All right, brother. Thanks again. I know you're busy. Go back to work. Thanks again. Tell everybody thanks for sparing you for 20 minutes for me. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, Rich.
That's Mike Garofalo right here on the You're No Rando show on the Roku Sports Channel. Thanks again, Mike. Here you go. I'm no rando.
That was funny because it was a little bit like watching you deal with the kids at home, but you're looking at your phone. You're trying to tell them what to do and like, Cooper, leave your brother alone, but you're reading about something.
Right.
Sports related.
Well, they're all like yesterday, Pelissero, you know, every single time I was setting him up, he would look down at his phone. I mean, their phones are blowing up. It's quite an existence. That's why, you know, after you do it for a very long time, you just want to maybe go back to your alma mater and run the sports program like Woj. St. Bonaventure. That's where you go. I'm going back to St. Bonaventure. I'm going to put the phone down, you know. We'll take a break and, you know, that situation in Chicago, we'll hit that. And my two cents on that is a team I saw just 3 weeks ago in London and they were sky high. And right now, not so much. That's coming up. Jack Flaherty in studio. It's an Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Brockman left that for Seuss. That's coming up.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
This is a mini meditation guided by Bombas. Repeat after me. I'm comfy. Comfy. I'm cozy. Cozy. I have zero blisters on my toes. Blisters. And that's because I wear Bombas. The softest socks, underwear, and t-shirts that give back. One purchased equals one donated. Now go to bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN at checkout.
Herm Edwards on October 30th, 2002, after a Week 8 loss to the Cleveland Browns. Ooh. Here is play to win the game, as told by Victor Newman.
This is great about sports. This is what's the greatest thing about sports, is you play to win. Hello? You play to win the damn game, right? You don't play just to play it. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, get your ass out of here, then retire. Because it matters.
Well done. That's number one. Next up, on October 16th, 2006, after the Cardinals blew a 20-point lead against the Bears on Monday Night Football.
Oh, man.
Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were, as portrayed by Victor Newman.
Bears are who we thought they were, you know? That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the damn hook.
Very good. Very well done. All right, last one for you.
I can feel it. I can feel it.
I'm glad that we got it rolling, because here's the last one.
I can feel it. Oh.
On May 7th, 2002, the famed practice press conference of one Allen Iverson, as recounted by the man who plays Victor Newman, Eric Braeden, hit it.
I mean, listen, man. You're talking about practice, okay? Not a game. Not a game. Not a game, all right? Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. I know it's important. Yeah, I do. I honestly do. But we're talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice. We're talking about practice, man.
Lovely. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I'm here. Chris Brockman and TJ Jefferson are already in Germany. I think TJ's already there. Chris is landing. He had to go through Paris. Words I've never said into this microphone in regards to any show that we've ever done. But Susan in Chris's chair, Del Tufo back from whatever walkabout he was on. Suze, I've got an interest in your thoughts on this subject matter that are about to hit.
Okay.
Let me set the table, if you don't mind. So, last I saw the Chicago Bears, London, it was in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and they were a hot team from the second quarter on. The usual first quarter issues. I don't know what's going on with the Bears coming out to start these games. They're struggling the first quarter. They just started, as we learned through Stacey Dale's reporting prior to that game against the Jaguars, had just 2 weeks prior started scripting their first 15. They were just usually having a menu of plays that everybody liked, and then it would be up to the OC, Shane Waldron, to dial it up in the first drive. Players were saying it would kind of be helpful if we start scripting it. And they still struggle in the first quarter. We didn't see Caleb Williams start doing stuff in D.C. like he did in London in the last three quarters until the fourth quarter of that game, and they were terrific. He was terrific in that fourth quarter, and the Bears were going to win it until we all know that Hail Mary that did not go their way. Ball tipped up and behind everybody right into the open arms of Noah Brown, and the ball tipped by a guy who wasn't even paying attention to the first 3 seconds of that play. And Tyreek Stevenson, who apologized, and the teammates all have his back, and they're all going to go out there in Arizona and get back to work, and then it was awful. There's just no other way to put it. It was just brutal. And, you know, in that game, you could see Caleb Williams running around for his life, as he does a lot, and he's ranging to his left, extending the play. Looks like the play was over, or at least DJ Moore, one of the leaders on that offense, one of the leaders in that receiver room. The OG is Keenan Allen, but DJ Moore, you know, came in the trade that eventually brought Caleb to the mix in Chicago, and he strolled off the field. I've never seen anything like it. I think he thought Caleb was about to throw it away and he's done, but the play wasn't over. And he walked off the field and headed to the bench. And again, when we were meeting with the Bears, DJ Moore was one of the guys we spoke to because he's a leader on the team and he takes that responsibility seriously. At least we all felt that from him in the room. He was the one saying that the Wi-Fi was finally feeling like everybody got the same Wi-Fi connected together because the offense was coming together going into that game. And so to have one guy in Tyreek Stevenson do what he did during the Hail Mary that cost him, and then have DJ Moore in the middle of the game, in the middle of the play, stroll off the field. You know, he in his weekly radio appearance in Chicago was asked the money question of, has the coach lost the locker room? Now, you could basically say, well, it's on DJ Moore if he's just strolling off the field in the middle of a play. He's not, like, making sure that his quarterback has more fight or life left in him in the play. But this has been a few weeks since London, and obviously after a play like the one that cost them in D.C., these are the questions about Matt Eberflus. Sweetheart of a guy, but you're wondering, does he have the pulse of the locker room? And this is what DJ Moore had to say.
Has Matt Eberflus lost his football team?
I want to say no. The message yesterday was that we know we 4-4 now. It's just like being 0-0. But you just got to go out there and start stacking wins how we did. And that's the best thing we can do is win and then let the chips fall how they fall after we do so.
Okay. I have the perfect person sitting on the set to ask this question to. Suze, you and I have been married 22 glorious years. We've got 3 beautiful children and 2 lovely dogs at home. Am I missing anything?
I think it's 24 and a half. Or 22 and a half.
What, years that we've been married? We've been married. We're 20. Like this is our 22nd years of marriage.
Just
yes, I'm rounding up.
Just in case.
But you had me at hello. It took a while for me to have you at that same very hello, but that's ancient history. That's buried.
Are you equating? Am I DJ Moore and your Eberflus?
Like, no. I'm that's my long wind up. Here's the pitch.
You're building to something, right?
Let me build.
Just checking.
Come on, let me build.
Rich, I'm here to talk about sports.
No. Let me ask you this question. Let's just say we weren't on such wonderful footing as we are.
If we were taking a break or something, well, just like a Friends reference.
No. Let me. Here we go. And you were suspecting me of straying or potentially wondering if we were still, you know, simpatico. And you asked me that question, and I say, I want to say no.
I think I'd probably hit Laura Wasser on my speed dial.
One of the most famous.
And I'd just say, like, law.
Divorce attorneys, who was in our wedding party, in by the way. You want to talk about being able to have a thick skin.
Like, Rich.
Mike, one of Los Angeles's leading, America's leading divorce attorneys was in her wedding party on our wedding day. I'm saying my vows, till death do us part. There she is, the law, taking notes. What if you said, Are we in trouble? And I'll say, I want to say no.
Well, I mean, I did shoot you a look during that soundbite, like, ooh, that doesn't sound very good.
I want to say no.
That does not sound very good.
And then he repeats what is being told to the locker room right now, which is, we're 0-0. Let's pitch the last, you know, not the first 8 games, but hitting a reset button would kind of be a smart way of telling your team, let's rally around, let's forget that Hail Mary. Let's forget whatever is going on here, whatever you're wondering about our team's abilities, let's hit the reset button. Makes sense. But when you hear him say, I want to say no, that's the first words out of his mouth.
This is not a tightly run ship. It reminds me a little bit of what Pete Carroll used to say about his method of coaching, which is, I can be jocular with the guys, and I can be one of the guys he would run with them before practices. We all knew that. But he ran a tight ship. And what that looked like is a bunch of guys not quite paying attention to their leader.
I didn't get a sense of, in London, with the exception of hearing the story that, you know, they weren't scripting their first 15 and the players went to Eberflus, this according to Stacey Dale's reporting, and he's like, talk to the OC, that's what you want, you know, letting the guys handle it themselves, and then they did, and then they started scripting it, and that still hasn't, led to some first quarter traction, which would be great, so things aren't tight in the end, or just starting fast would be great for him. Rich, are you planning to take out the garbage? I want to say no. How would that go over?
Not so well.
Right. I want to say no.
It's not a good response.
Is a way of saying yeah. I want to say no. But here's what they're telling us. And, you know, we got to start stacking wins like once upon a time when we were 1-2. Then we were 4-2. They stacked wins 3 in a row. Now they've lost 2 in a row. They do have the Patriots coming in with a rookie quarterback, and they're a much better team at home, certainly on defense where they're scoring to helping out the offense. So perhaps the winning ways might return and provide the deodorant to what clearly is going on, you know?
And we haven't even talked about leaving Caleb Williams in late in the game, which I still am.
Well, you know,
I'm scratching my head about.
I'm with you because of, you know, what you're referring to, like Chris Godwin, what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
But this kid just needs the reps. Yeah. He does. He needs the time.
He needs the reps, but boy, that's late in the game, and things get sloppy late in the game, and I would protect my franchise a little bit better than that.
Well, things would be a hell of a lot worse if he did actually suffer something significant. But he definitely needs the reps.
They all do. I mean, all these young quarterbacks need the time in. That was why everybody was wondering about Anthony Richardson and
it just,
should they leave him?
Right. It just doesn't help that the guy chosen after him looks so naturally gifted in terms of leadership and calmness and understanding and doesn't need the, you know, and is making more out of what everybody thinks is less, with all due respect to Terry McLaurin and the rest of that skilled position set coming into the season. Everyone's like, well, that's Keenan Allen. That's DJ Moore. And they drafted Roma Dunze. And, you know, they got DeAndre Swift. So look out. And the Commanders are like, hold our beer or division title, I might add. That can't help. And it certainly doesn't help when the answer isn't like, no, we're a tight team. We all believe in the coach. It's not. Instead, it's like, I want to say no. No bueno. Jack Flaherty. Look at him celebrating a championship. Coming up next.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/listen and use code LISTEN at checkout.